Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Dada.
All right, let's see. The next one that came in is from, we have a couple. So Pinty23 writes, how can the ref overturn the Eason call joke? Yeah, Tony Brothers is Tony Brothers, you know, and who knows, you know, I guess. So technically speaking, referees give offensive players, like, they grant them the ability to throw the chicken wing, right? The elbow. Now, I would argue that Eason's arm extended, but I don't know if Tony Brothers would argue that Austin was already falling before Eason's hand actually fully extended away from him. Now, part of why Austin was falling was because Eason stepped on his foot, and it's really weird that offensive players get the benefit of the doubt when their feet get tangled up and they get the foul there. Defensive players, for some reason, never get that. And if anything, they get like ridiculed and mocked online because it's like, oh, so-and-so made so-and-so touch earth. And it's like, oh, but he stepped on his foot. Like, that should be taken into account. But yeah, the Eason call didn't make a whole bunch of sense. And it was a huge call, right? Because Austin would have been going to the free throw line, you know, potentially cutting the lead to five. And instead, Eason goes to the free throw line and Eason doesn't foul out. And the game plays out that way. But I look, I once again didn't particularly love the game that the referees called here. But I was far more frustrated with the way that the Lakers played than refereeing here tonight. There have been, you know, the last couple of games where it's like, can we not make it so obvious what you guys are doing out here, right? When you're trying to extend the series, like there, I never had that response to calls tonight, you know, and even the Eason call, as bad as it was, you know, I guess you could say it could go either way, but I don't know. To me, the bigger issue here was the stuff that we talked about in last segment, which is what were the Lakers trying to accomplish offensively? We just never knew. Let's see. We have a few more. So Intel is Wild writes, I want Reeves gone next season. Vando gone, Jake gone, Hayes gone. F Ayton if he takes his option. And LeBron gone. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? I don't know. Like, feels like an overreaction to a team that was just up 3-0 in the series, and could just like win this thing on Friday. Look, if they are the team that breaks the 160 series streak. If the Lakers are the one team that loses out of the 161, then okay, we can have that conversation. And if anything, like, I do think that this series, if that's how this plays out, should open the front office's eyes to the whole, like, all right, we are definitely not heading down the path where we have everybody basically return with some additions and tweaks on the margins. That approach is finite, right? Like, all right, I'm fine with that conversation. But with a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, all right, so I want Reeves gone next year. Reeves has a cap hold of like $20 million. And even if the Lakers sign him to a big contract, that can be done as the last thing that you do in the offseason. And whereas, like, you know, if he walks, you're just not opening. You're you know, even if you don't think Austin is a $40 million player, I would say most people consider Austin like a, at the very, 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 very least, like a $30 million player. You know, but so you would be swapping out an all-star, you know, somebody who would have been an all-star this year if he stayed healthy, was on pace to be an all-NBA player before he got hurt. And then somebody who like stepped in and immediately got to the free throw line 13 times tonight. You're trading that guy for somebody who's, you know, going to be making 20-ish million bucks. And probably isn't the player that Austin is. So, like, I want Reeves gone next season. It just sounds like a petulant child would say, like, when like things don't go their way, you know, like I've done it, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, you don't get the toy that you want. I remember, all right. So I remember like one time when I was a kid, there was a boombox that I wanted for my room, and I had saved up all the money that I needed to save up to buy it. And I was all excited because we were going to get there and this boombox was going to be there. And, it was like the last one available was the demo. And, I wanted it brand new. I wanted to open it up out of the box. I wanted like, I was like 10 years old or whatever. But I wanted it the way that I wanted it. And when it didn't play out that way, I threw this big temper tantrum. And, you know, my dad was like, all right, fuck you then. Like, let's go. And walk back to the car. And halfway to the car, I'm like, okay, no. Can I look at the other boom boxes? And dad was like, no, you blew it. Moron. Maybe we'll come back next weekend. Maybe. But you don't get to act like that. And this whole, like, I want Reeves gone. I don't care what it costs. It just feels like Reeves would leave. And as soon as he signs elsewhere, you'd be like, all right, who's the replacement? Shit. Like, so let's calm down on like the, I just want Reeves gone at all costs talk. Vando. All right, so let's talk about what it would look like if Vando is gone. Vando, on his contract, has another year, I believe. Every time I look, it gets longer. Should I not look? should I not look just in case it does add another year to his deal? So Jared Vanderbilt has next year on the books, the 26-27 season. And then after that, he has the 27-28 season on a player option that he's probably picking up. So, it would probably cost you a second, like a solid second round pick to move Jared Vanderbilt and just be done with him, right? And not get anything back. And given how few assets that the Lakers actually have to work with going into this offseason, that's tough. I think I would rather have Jared Vanderbilt on the roster than just giving up a second rounder for nothing to get rid of Vando and not get anything back. Now, if you already have somebody in mind who you're going to use, that $12.5 million of you know, on your cap, and that, you know, whether, or if you basically say like Vando and Dalton, which adds up to like $17-18 million next year. Vando and Dalton in a first for a $20 million a year starter or rotation player who can make a layup. All right. Yeah. Let me hear all about all of those options, and I'm looking forward to asking about them. But like, again, just saying out of the, in the heat of the moment, and trust me, I am just as frustrated as anybody watching the show right now. Maybe even more, because as I say to you guys, the vibes, the clicks, the downloads, all that stuff, they go way up when the Lakers are good. Had they swept the Rockets, our numbers here would be through the roof. Okay. But now, because everybody is kind of nervous about the Lakers potentially being the one team that loses with a 3-0 lead, now you're going to have people kind of reluctant to tune in. And I would rather people tune in. So I'm plenty frustrated with how this series is playing out. But still, I am willing to be pragmatic in understanding, Vando, you can't just give up whatever it takes to get rid of this dude, right? He's a good locker room guy. He's highly professional. He's hugely popular. And on those nights that he has his head on right and he isn't picking up a foul every 3 seconds, he can be a bit of an impact player. I wish he had any offensive talent whatsoever. This would be way easier. Like, the Lakers would be a significantly better team if Jared Vanderbilt didn't entrust his basketball development to football coaches. But here we stand. Now, as far as Jake and Hayes, I'm fine with also leaving. He's a veteran minimum player, highly replaceable. And this is now two straight postseasons that this dude has sucked. So I'm fine with that. I know he has that friendship with Luka. I know that he shares an agency with Luka Doncic. I don't think Bill Duffy is going to hold anything against the Lakers if they let Jackson Hayes sign a minimum contract elsewhere. Now, as far as Jake goes, Jake is interesting. He has a very workable contract, right? I think he's like on the books for another. I think he signed a 2-year, $12 million contract, or maybe it's 2 years, 14. And next year he's on the books for eight. Either way, it's either $6 or $8 million next year. And you're talking about a at the very least, an expiring contract on a very young wing who has played steady basketball. Now, do I wish that this dude didn't develop the yips when we got to the postseason? Obviously. But I do think that if he was properly slotted into a spot where he plays 10 to 15 minutes rather than the 15 to 20 to 25 minutes a night, then Jake would make a whole lot more sense and be a whole lot less detrimental if he once again develops the yips next year. What I will say though is that, like, I think Hayes, or Jake, on that very movable and workable contract, you combine him with Vando, with Dalton, now all of a sudden you're talking about a 25-ish million dollar player who you could bring back, you know, depending on the other assets that are going out draft-wise, right? Draft pick-wise. So, like, that's an intriguing concept, right? You know, if the Lakers are looking to consolidate their roster and actually, you know, get more guys that they would legitimately trust in these moments, that's a fine path for me. Now, as far as like Ayton, Ayton was fantastic tonight, man. Like, this was not the night to make the point that you're making right now. 18 points, 17 boards, couple of blocks. Like, it's crazy that he was a plus two, given that most of his minutes came against Alperen Şengün, who wound up a plus eight in this game. I thought he was good. Like, again, do I wish I trusted the guy more? Abso-freaking-lutely. But I'm not. You're not going to. And him at like an $8 million a year contract, when you consider some of the other, like, if Ayton accepts the role and just goes into next season as the Lakers backup instead of Jackson Hayes, and you want, and you go into next year with a much better center, that would be great, honestly. Hell, I'd be willing to bring back Jackson Hayes at the minimum or so, with Ayton also coming off of the bench and then a stud center starting for you. That would be great. Like, that would be fantastic. And I think Ayton probably opts in. I don't think he would have a crazy market outside of what he would, you know, make for the Lakers next year. If he does opt in, and if Jackson is like a minimum ish player, and the Lakers go out and sign a, you know, or trade for a really, really, really good center, then I think their roster gets a hell of a lot better than it currently is right now. LeBron gone. Come on, man. Like, LeBron's the only reason they have any chance in the world at this series right now. Is he wearing down visibly in this series? Okay, you can make that case. I think it's more in terms of approach than it is execution. Not saying the execution's been great either, but I'm not gonna, like, I just recorded a few podcasts over the last week or so saying, like, LeBron's most reasonable move is to stay in LA. The Lakers can't afford to lose talent for nothing, given that they are, you know, the less talented team in this series. I'm, you know, if LeBron comes back at a decent number and you move Vando and Dalton and maybe Jake, or you replace or upgrade from Rui, or you upgrade from Ayton, while and if LeBron is willing to take a number that allows you to do all of those things, and Austin is, it takes a number that allows you to do all of those things, then that to me is significantly better outcome of this offseason than all of you leave, get out of here, we'll make it work. Because if you do that, if that's the approach that you take, you are putting all of your eggs in the Rob Pelinka basket. And do you, Intel is Wild, trust that? I personally do not. Let's see. The next one here comes from Detective Ludo Mind Pretzel 23. Why does this team look tired? Outside of LeBron, the players aren't old. Average age of the team is 27. Do they have a conditioning issue? Well, I think it's more that they're playing against some freaking Avengers on the other side, right? Like, Amen Thompson is just a freak athlete. You have Jabari Smith Jr., who's a young freak athlete. Tari Eason is a young freak athlete. Even Reed Shepard moves his feet extremely well, even though he's, you know, slight of frame. Josh Okogie, he's always had one of the better motors in the league. Aaron Holiday, much like, you know, his brother Drew, like, I'm pretty sure they're brothers, they're related. But another guy with a high motor who plays extremely smart basketball. Like, the Lakers look tired because the other team is young. And it's like, it's what you see oftentimes in the NBA, where you go into a game and you're the older team, and you're probably the better team, but you give the other team just enough hope, and they're young and dumb enough to believe in that hope, and they are athletic and young enough to execute on that hope. And now all of a sudden, a game that you should have been leading by 15 or 20 or 25 points heading into the fourth quarter, now all of a sudden you're only up by like 5, and you're in a dogfight for the final 12 minutes of this game. And that's exactly where the Lakers find themselves right now, where this thing should have been over. They introduced a little bit of hope by way of how game 4 went. And then now the Rockets absolutely kicked the door over and have all of the belief in the world in themselves, especially because Kevin Durant isn't playing. And here we are. So we'll see how the rest of the series goes. I get the point that you're making as far as, like, you know, why do we talk about the Lakers as if they're this geriatric squad when it's really only one geriatric dude? I get it. I understand, like, the point, but I think it's more about what's on the other sideline than it is about the guys on this team right now. Like, you are only, like, we all have athletic limitations, and everybody watching this show right now probably has significant. It would be like, I'm sure maybe somewhere there's some kid who is, you know, 13 years old, watching this thing, and that 13-year-old is probably conditioned just fine, you know. But like that 13-year-old, if that 13-year-old played against an 11-year-old who is on his way to be, you know, to some elite AAU team, that 13-year-old is probably going to look pretty tired. When in reality, it's just like the limits on that 13-year-old versus the 11-year-old who's going to play for some elite AAU team and is on his way to an NBA career. Like, we all just have our limits. And I think the Lakers are up against their limits. And athletically speaking, speed-wise, all of that stuff, the Rockets' limits are just way over there compared to where the Lakers are. Let's see. The next one here comes from Let's Run UNLV. We absolutely looked bad enough to be the first team to lose in a series up 3-0 tonight. The Rockets have answers, and no KD is inspiring them. Hate it. I agree on that last part. Definitely agree about, you know, hating the direction that this series is going in. Also agree that there's an FU mentality that the Rockets are playing with, with KD maybe being at the center of it. But this is where we find out a lot about the Lakers, right? Like, we're learning right now a lot more about the Lakers than we would have learned about them had they been swept by, or had they swept this Rockets team and then gotten swept by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, I want to see who handles this situation well. I want to see who keeps their composure, who keeps fighting, who keeps giving them an opportunity here. I want to see who wants the moment and who wants to prove that, nope, that now is not the time to freak out, Lakers fans. We got you. I want to know about that shit, because eventually those are the guys that you're going to want in a season that the Lakers actually have a chance at winning a championship. They don't have a chance at winning a ring this year. We all would agree on that, right? And so, like, if we agree that they don't have a chance at winning a championship this year, then what is it that the Lakers are playing for? What are we watching for? We are watching because we want to learn about the Lakers before they go into this absolutely critical offseason. And this is the best opportunity for us to do that, right? We're going to find out who is made of what. And the answers that we get, maybe we like them, maybe we don't like them. We'll find out. But I do think that we're learning a lot more about this team, and this is information that we absolutely needed to learn. Long term, this series playing out the way that it is right now might mean more for the Lakers moving forward long term than had they just made quick work of a Houston Rockets team that was ready to quit on itself. I know that's a weird way to look at this, but I'm a coach by nature. I loved coaching when I was still doing it, and that's how I would look at this if I was coaching the Lakers. All right. Yeah. I think Bum, 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 bum. Paladin Knight. The Rockets team just huddled up together and ignored the coach and KD and united as a team. That's scary. Maybe, you know, maybe, but I don't know. I think they deserve a lot of credit, that young team does. Like, they had every reason in the world to just be like, all right, we could get our coach fired here. We could get KD traded here. We could all just slide off into the bliss that is the NBA offseason for 20-something-year-old multimillionaires. We could all just fade out, you know, exit stage left from this postseason. And they have made the decision. Like, if I was a Rockets fan, I'd be very impressed, and I have learned a lot about my team given the way that this series has gone. And it would tell me, all right, there are some guys on this team that need to be here for a long time. Kevin Durant might not be one of them. Ime Udoka, we'll see. But I don't know, man. I respect the shit out of the Rockets for the way that they're playing here. And it's on the Lakers to, you know, all right, you've been punched in the face now a couple times. What's your response? Right? You're in your corner. You won three rounds in a row in you know, technical fashion, but you won them nonetheless. Well, now you have been knocked down in two straight rounds. What's your response? And what the Lakers' response to this is going to tell us a hell of a lot about the team that we're rooting for heading into an absolutely critical summer. All right. I have been here for a long, long time. It is late. I still have to edit and post this thing. So I'm going to go to bed. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the channel and for YouTube. And if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you find them. I forgot to do the picks thing. I came up short, I think, because of Amen Thompson. So thanks, Amen. Until tomorrow and until the next time you guys hear from me, have a great rest of your nights. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you guys, in a little bit today because it's 1:30 my time.